Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, presented by LockedOnEagles.com. We are your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He's Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A. A.K. Ben, how's the streak? How you doing, brother?
Oh, life's a dream, man. Great weekend, right? Just watch some Eagles football tonight. I hate Monday night, man. I hate having to sit through all of Sunday and not being able to watch my team play. I can't stand it. So I'm excited that we finally get some football tonight.
Although you can enjoy Red Zone a little bit more and all that good stuff. And there's some around the NFL news that we can touch on before we hit this special Monday game day preview of Eagles Redskins. Ben, did anything of note stand out for you? Because I know of the five division leaders that played today, if I'm not mistaken, or during the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games, they went 4-1 with the lone one being the Panthers, just being dominated by the Bears.
Interesting to me is three shutouts in 1 week, which is the first time that's happened since 2011 or 12, I want to say. It's been a few years. The Rams trounced the Cardinals 33-0. Jaguars shut out the Colts 27-0. Man, Jacksonville is such a good football team. And
nine
they just
sacks.
Jacksonville is, you know how like you say, all right, we're going to build a franchise. Let's get a good general manager, a good head coach, and a good quarterback, and then we'll build from there. Jacksonville has literally everything else, and then none of those first three things. They, in my opinion, they don't have a good general manager, they don't have a good head coach, and they do not have a good quarterback. And so it's awful to watch them trounce these poor teams, and then they, you know, go up against stiffer competition, and they just can't hang because they don't have those crucial pieces. And then the Chargers beat the Broncos, and very quietly, you know, people have been poo-pooing the Eagles' strength of schedule, but the Chargers have been playing quite well. They're a good football team. Like we talked about when we played them, they're just losing the end of games because they don't have consistent field goal kicking. They've gotten rid of their place kicker, Young Hoo Koo. They've moved on from him and everything. And then the other thing that's exciting for me is the fact that the Bears attempted 7 passes. That's it? That's amazing. Last time that happened was 2006. So it's been 11 years since a team attempted 7 or fewer passes. And they won 17-3. They won like resoundingly. Unbelievable.
Well, that's on the back of Eddie Jackson, who, if you followed my draft work, you know that I had him in it as a late first rounder. He didn't get picked until pick 112th overall. So there was some tea sipping on Twitter today by myself. And I know your boss, Kyle Krabs, over at NDT Scouting was real high on him as well. So that was good for both of our brands. Seahawks, let's keep it in the division here for a second. Seahawks trounced the Giants 24-7. It was close for a good portion of the game, but it also felt like a blowout the entire way. Cowboys played the 49ers and blew them out. There was one takeaway I had from that I wanted to ask you. The Cowboys, by summarily blowing out the 49ers today, does that change your opinion at all of the Redskins coming into this week, seeing as they struggled with the 49ers? Or are you more in the camp of transitive property is a slippery, slippery slope when it comes to the NFL?
Yeah, slippery, slippery slope. Yeah, it's too difficult to kind of link those two. There's too many factors that go into it. Mm-hmm. You know, notwithstanding the biggest piece being the fact that San Francisco came into the Cowboy game with a completely different starting quarterback, you know, right, and Dallas could scheme for him and prepare likewise. No, biggest thing that I see with the Cowboys right now is just understanding they're 3-3. At the end of the Eagles and Redskins game, the Redskins are going to be 3-3. And so Dallas is going to kind of get a little bit of life looking back, checking out that week 11 clash they had with Philadelphia. If they can get a few wins moving into that game, then that game takes on a lot more import. So just keeping an eye on the Cowboys schedule. Obviously, Zeke Elliott's running like a man possessed. He's kind of woken up here after a sluggish start to the season, but you know, it remains to be seen whether or not he continues to play. I didn't catch much of the Cowboys game. I was kind of, you know, buried in the Eagles Redskins film of week one, getting ready, man, for this awesome preview pod. So there it is.
I like it. So let's get into it. All right. In my injury impact piece on LockedOnEagles.com, by the way, I dropped a bunch of pieces over on LockedOnEagles.com this weekend. Go check that out. One specific thing that I detailed in that piece was the Redskins' trouble defending opposing tight ends. Coming into this week, they've given up a league-leading 407 yards to tight ends this season while playing a game less than most of the teams in range of them. So it's been bad for them.
Do you want to hear a crazy Zach Ertz versus the Redskins stat?
He's played his best against the Redskins too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Three of his most five productive career games came against the Redskins, and all of them were the second time they played the Redskins. This is completely arbitrary. This is the result of me just being buried in stats. But you have to understand, over the past three of the past five, 2014, 2015, 2016, that second game of the year, Zach Ertz has had 18 targets, 17 targets, and 13 targets. He's had 15 catches, 13 catches, and 10 catches. He's had over 100 yards all three times, but Zach Ertz still has not scored a touchdown against the Washington Redskins, which is absurd.
Oh,
so after coming off of a two-touchdown performance against the Panthers, already matching his career high with season touchdowns with four this season, you have to imagine Zach Ertz actually scores a touchdown this time.
All right, so with Mason Foster listed as questionable, it could mean more playing time for backup Martell Spate, who only saw snaps on special teams last week against the 49ers. Now, this may not affect Ertz as much, seeing as his primary defender will likely be DJ Swearinger. But when you look at Burton, you look at Smallwood against these linebackers, not to mention the cornerback injuries with Norman out and Breland questionable. This game seems like it could be a bonanza for the Eagles in the passing game, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think one of the most slept on storylines moving into this Monday night game is you keep hearing from Redskins fan, yo, we're a different team than you faced week one. You go back to the tape, the Eagles are a very different team than the Redskins faced week one. Carson Wentz missed easily six throws in that game that he's been hitting with consistency over the past two or three contests. Carson Wentz missed easily, I would say, 10 reads in that Redskins game. You know, his first game, you know, second year starting a road environment that he's been hitting consistently these past two or three weeks. The Eagles only rushed the football in that Redskins game for 58 yards. They had 24 carries, but 58 yards. They've had over 100 yards in almost every game since. And they've got a streak going there. And one of the Redskins' best interior defenders, Jonathan Allen, as we've noted, is out. Yeah, the passing game has a huge opportunity. I like Carson. He's on a two-game streak with at least three touchdowns, his first three-touchdown streak of his career. I like him to get his third three-touchdown game against the Redskins, absolutely. But I think that you got to look at this running game and assume that the Eagles have a completely revamped offensive identity than the one that they toted out against the Redskins week one.
Yeah, and I was actually looking at this too. So we ran it with our running backs when you take away Wentz's scrambles 20 times for a very ugly 52 yards. Then you consider that Allen had a personal season high snap count against us in week one, which is 42 snaps. You take him out of the equation. You take the Eagles' newfound commitment to the run and success in the running game into the equation. And you look at Pro Football Focus has their offensive line, defensive line matchup chart. Right?
Yeah.
The Eagles lead week seven matchups by a good amount with a 47% run game advantage in the trenches, which is, if you haven't seen it, that's a huge advantage. I think it was like 14% against the Cardinals or something like that, just to give you an idea of the difference. So while the passing game shapes up beautifully for the Eagles, it's going to be important to establish the ground game early and often because I think we can impose our will on this team if we're committed to it. And then also, I think the play action off that too, we run play action 26% of dropbacks, and Wentz has a rating of 92.2 when they do it. So Ben, talk to me about the run game and what we can do off of that.
Here, I have a question for you actually, and I want to just get your gut reaction on this stat, because I found it writing my preview post earlier for Bleeding Green. Alshon Jeffrey has not had a 100-yard game since week one in 2016, okay? That's 17 games that he's played. He's not had 100 yards receiving. You know who also had his last 100-yard receiving game? At that time, Jordan Matthews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're in the same dearth as far as 100-yard receiving games go. I you know, we keep on talking, all right, Alshon Jeffrey having a breakout week. I'm of the opinion that if Alshon Jeffrey has a good week, it's not a breakout week, it's a surprise. It's a peak, it's a blip on the radar, right? We're at the point, and a lot of the narrative that we get is, oh, if you know, he had caught this and you know, this pass interference that he drew, and oh, if Wentz hit him on this route. Yeah, well, every quarterback misses every receiver a couple of times. It's not like in every year of Jeffrey's career, he's been hit on every deep pattern and now all of a sudden he's missing them. Like those.
Well, to be fair, Ben, because a lot of that narrative is coming from me. I understand that.
No, I mean, in general.
And in general too, but at the same time, you know, I've also been critical of the fact that he's not winning those 50-50 balls that he should win as well, and he's not winning some matchups as dominantly as he should. So go on though. I wanted to address that.
Well, no. I mean, I wasn't clowning on you at all. It's just something that I've been working on. I guess my question for you is, you know, if I like put your over under for Alshon Jeffrey yards at 80, what do you take him?
If it's not a game where we're blowing them out and the game script goes away from Alshon, then I would expect 100 yards and like 6-7 catches. That's what he should do against these corners. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think this is an important game. With Norman out and Breland questionable and banged up, then yeah, I would definitely expect Alshon to have a breakout game, quote unquote, not just a 4 catches, 60 yards type of game.
All right. No, I feel you. You know, I've been thinking a lot about Alshon and kind of what his contract might look like and everything. And so I'm just going to sit here and wait for the 100-yard game. I don't think it's coming down the mountain anytime soon.
Should be a big game for Alshon. That's what we expect, and we will criticize him fairly if he doesn't make that happen. Ben, did you have any other points on that?
I can throw a little Philly offensive stat at you that will transition into Philadelphia defense against Washington offense.
Fire away.
So Philadelphia's red zone offense comes in ranked 4th in the league as far as scoring touchdowns goes, which is really, really nice and is not necessarily a hallmark of the Peterson-Reed system. So it's pretty cool to see the Eagles have been successful there. The Redskins defense is 25th, on the other hand. Now, the reason I came across this information is because going through the Redskins tape, they put up a lot of field goals. And I went down to their stats and their offense is 26th. As far as red zone conversion rates, Philadelphia defense is 12th. And we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get into score predictions, but Redskins kicking field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, we saw what that did to Carolina. You can't keep pace with this Philadelphia offense if you can't score touchdowns, and Redskins have been unable to do so consistently over the beginning of the season.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Yeah, and this weekend I dropped a piece on Locked On Eagles. It was a red zone piece, and what it did was it highlighted the connection between Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz with an overview of Carson Wentz, but mainly focusing on a breakdown of the 4 touchdowns that Zach Ertz has in the red zone. Only had 3 in the red zone last year, so we really improved in that area. Wentz has thrown 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in the red zone as well. We've done a great job of isolating matchups with Ertz, clearing out space around him, getting the matchups that we want. We've done a fantastic job with that. The Redskins are going to have to get 7 when they get in the red zone against us, because we are firing on all cylinders. The play calling's been good. The matchups have been advantageous to us, and they're going to be in this matchup as well. And if that run game gets going too, then that just adds another dimension that hasn't been as strong for us in the red zone as well.
And the Redskins offense, which has been performing better than it did in week 1, certainly. And actually, over the past 4 games, the Redskins have jumped out to double-digit leads early in the past 4 games. They've held their opponent to 0 points, and then they've come out to an early lead. And part of the reason that that's happened is because the Redskins have been running the ball very well, and they've moved to much more of a power-based scheme, and they've incorporated a lot more of those concepts than what we saw against Philadelphia week 1, where they were running a lot more zone. They've gotten Chris Thompson, that third down back. They've gotten him more involved in the running game, which is good because he's a lot more spry. He's a lot quicker than they've got as far as Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine goes. But they're going up against the number 1 rush defense in the NFL. I mean, you can't run the football consistently on Philadelphia. Their running attack is 4/5 of what Carolina's was, and it doesn't scare me too much.
Yeah, and the Panthers completely avoided running in the inside against the Eagles. They knew they couldn't do it. When they tried it, it wasn't happening. And you mentioned Chris Thompson, and we talked about him with Zach Kicks last week on the show on Wednesday. Check out that crossover episode. But you mentioned him. What did you see from him I watched all of his catches for them this year. They didn't do anything special. They didn't do anything fancy. It was Chris Thompson coming out in the flats, or it was a screen, or like stuff like that, right?
Yeah, you remember when we were talking and I said that I just can't handle watching the Redskins' offense. Like, it's so boring. It's so boring. And you know, I've been in it all day kind of getting ready for the game tomorrow the game tonight, because we're releasing on Monday. But it's 10 types of ugly. And yeah, you've got that angle route, which we know burned Philadelphia where they couldn't tackle him, you know, in the close to, but not actually red zone in week one. But yeah, this is a this is an offense that's really just a lot of white bread, a lot of half field, 3-by-1 sort of concepts where they're trying to exploit, you know, one-on-one matchups, but they don't have the guys to do it successfully anymore. They don't have DeSean Jackson to burn you over the top. You know, Jameson Crowder was supposed to be that shifty dude from the slot, but he hasn't been it. Ryan Grant has been their solution there. And as Zach Hicks talked about, they didn't even think Ryan Grant was going to make the roster before this year. Jordan Reed is not the dominant player that he used to be. Simply, he's been injured so much. You wonder just what's the maximum health his body can even achieve at this point in his career. Josh Doctson is kind of coming on, and he has great tools. We've talked about him, but we don't know what his snap count's going to be. And I was surprised by how poorly Kirk Cousins has been playing for a team that's allegedly better than we saw them in week one.
Right.
I mean, he makes, you know, 9 cool, accurate, on-time throws a game, and everything else is just straight panic. Everything else is just, there's my first read. First read's not open. Holy crap. Dance around for a little bit. Step, throw an inaccurate ball across the middle. Wash, rinse, repeat.
What I've seen from him throughout his career, and you brought it up too, the 3-by-1s, the half field reads, he's such high variance because of that, that he can have those really good games where he looks good when everything's clicking and so on and so forth. But when a defense is able to key in on what they're trying to do offensively, which I think Jim Schwartz is going to be able to do in this game,
yep,
having seen them once already and having more tape on them, I think Cousins are really going to struggle in this game. What do you think?
I've watched Kirk Cousins just panic under pressure for multiple games, especially when he's been feeling it early. He'll panic in a clean pocket. He did it against the Eagles that entire game. That red zone interception of Jalen Mills, that entire drive was ugly for him, and that red zone interception was no different. It was exactly along those lines. So I've seen him struggle under pressure, and I've seen him struggle when he's moving past his first read. Philadelphia Eagles should be able to force him pressure pretty easily, and given the way that the secondary's been playing, especially if you add Ronald Darby back into the mix, I think they can very successfully push him past his first read when they need to. Because we've been saying, like, oh, maybe, you know, trap game, Redskins are a trendy pick. For me, there's no reason right now to pick against the Eagles playing any team in the NFL. And this game is no different. Redskins aren't going to be able to run the football on them. They don't have a consistent passing attack. And the Eagles are one of the most prolific scoring teams in the NFL right now. Redskins haven't scored more than 27 points since week 4 of 2016. You think that the Eagles can't hang 28, can't hang 31 on this defense?
Right.
And, you know, we'll do predictions here in a second. But that's kind of where I'm at right now with Philadelphia on a wider scale. After Kansas City's dropped 2, you know, they lost to Oakland. Denver's been struggling recently. You know, Seattle struggled with the Giants for a couple of quarters. Wait, what team are you picking over the Eagles right now?
I don't know. I mean, the Steelers are playing really good football right now, but they're in the AFC anyway. So we got plenty of time before we need to deal with that. We don't play them in the regular season. Other than that, yeah, I think we can hang with just about everybody. This isn't when we come into a matchup, this isn't that, man, we got to play an A game.
Right.
They got to play a bad game. You know what I mean? If we play our A game, we can play with anybody. And right now the Redskins aren't playing their A game. They struggled mightily with the 49ers. So there's that too. And like we said, transit property is a slippery slope, but at the same time, if you're not playing good football, you're not playing good football, you don't have momentum coming into it, then it leads me to doubt you. So let's get into the predictions. Last week when we talked with Zach, I gave my prediction of 28-23, and the way that set up for me was it would be 28-17, Eagles firmly in control, Redskins get some garbage time points, and then fail on a 2-point conversion. So 28-23. And I think when we talked at the time, the line was at 4.5 points, which means that the Eagles would cover as well. Do you know if that line has moved at all, Ben?
Yeah, still at 4.5 for Philadelphia, Washington. I'm at the same. Yeah, I'm watching two big things moving into this game. First thing we've talked about was red zone efficiency. If Washington is kicking field goals, they're not going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They got to put 7 on the board. Always watching turnovers, but Carson Wentz has done a great job keeping track of the football, so I'm feeling comfortable there. Last thing I kind of alluded to is that Washington jumping out to early leads helps them control the game script, take some pressure off of that defense. Philadelphia is first in first quarter points per game in the NFL. They're leading the league, and they're third in first quarter points on defense as far as allowing the third least. Now, Washington is fifth in defense, and the only first quarter points they've given up over the year were the seven they gave up to Philadelphia in week one. So I've got two teams who are very, very good with the pre-scripted plays, with the tape study coming into the first quarter. Whichever team takes that early, I think, and gets in the driver's seat early, I think they have a huge chance to run away with this game. These are two teams that are very good in the first quarter. Philadelphia at home with a ton of momentum, off of more rest, more healthy. That spells a good first quarter to me. I'm comfortable saying I think Philadelphia wins this game. I think they win it emphatically. I'm at 31-17 Philadelphia.
I agree with all those points. I'm not necessarily concerned with this game. I remember the Chargers game. I had that sneaky suspicion that this might be like a trap game for us. I mean, we might have some issues, and it was a close game. I didn't feel that way, but the Cardinals game. I don't feel that way about this game. I even felt pretty confident about the Panthers game, even though I picked against us, but it was reverse jinx, so haha, joke's on you if you try to come at me on Twitter. Hodia, since we're recording this as the Falcons-New England game is kicking off, the Falcons are starting to look like some of our main competition in the NFC. Just real quick, who do you got tonight? This is going to drop on Monday, so we're predicting a game that will be before the episode drops, so this should be really interesting. Who do you got?
So I parlayed tonight the Falcons covering and the Falcons Patriots over. Because I've got a 3-point spread for the Falcons, which I like for them to cover a lot. And then the over is at 56.5. And these are two teams with some powerful offenses and some defenses that that can give up some points for sure, especially New England's. I think Atlanta takes it tonight. I don't know. If I was in a locker room and I lost 28-3 in a Super Bowl, I would want nothing more in the entire world than to get a second crack at that team in prime time. So I think Atlanta comes out like a team possessed, puts out a good performance on New England. What about you?
That mental game can go both ways, though. You know what I mean?
Can.
Yeah, let's say things start to get out of control once they have a lead. It's that whole here we go again thing. However, I will say I have fired up a bunch of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones in DFS. And if I don't have them, you can probably believe that I have Devonta Freeman. So I'm feeling really good about the Falcons offense in this game. I'm going to go ahead and say they take it as well. Patriots aren't playing up to their normal standard of football, and that defense is just a sieve. So I'll go with the Falcons, and I'll say that they're probably our main competition in the NFC right now. Yep. Ben, do you have anything else for the gentle listeners before we talk to them on Tuesday with our recap?
What's up, gentle listeners? Yeah, Mike said it best. Tuesday recap, Wednesday crossover pod with Locked On Niners. I misspoke, actually, on the Friday pod. I thought that our bye was before Denver. Our bye is after Denver. So we got the week coming up for the 49ers, then the week previewing Denver, previewing the Broncos, which Broncos have looked pretty poor these past couple weeks. They can't generate any offense. So that game, which you kind of had circled in the beginning of the year, I think is the circle's a little faded right now. Then you get that bye week, and then you get the Cowboys. So just keep it locked on here, man. It should be a fun one.
That's right, man. Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Caw-caw.
Stop it.
Nope.
Stop it, Ben.
I will not.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.